uplifting, encouraging Spirit FM, Chris Lai, and Only You Can Save. It's 7:10. Good morning radio with Dave and Linda. Casting Crowns on the way next with Life Song. Partly sunny this morning, but then rain moving in by this afternoon. Not as cool with our highs in the mid-40s. And joining Linda and myself this morning, Dr. Tim Clinton is here. Good morning, Dr. Tim.
Good morning, Dave. How are you? Hi, Linda.
Hi, it's good to have you in the studio again.
It's Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
How about them Steelers, Dave?
Man, looking good. It scared me a little bit in the second half, but otherwise.
Yeah, that was, what happened? Like wheels came out of the bus there for a while.
A little bit, but.
But they didn't have enough bus.
That's exactly right.
So, Dave can't stop. He can't stop grinning.
How about, Green Bay in Pittsburgh. That's going to be, a dandy, isn't it?
You know what? He's rooting for the Steelers. I'm doing the Packers.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Linda,
yeah, we're divided in the studio.
Don't do that. I was listening to ESPN, Mike and Mike in the morning. They were on ABC at Good Morning America yesterday or something. They were both mouthing off about how they thought Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are going to get it done.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, Mike and Mike.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't like the show anyway.
I'm just picking the Packers because Dave picked the Steelers, so there you go. But anyway, we thought it'd be interesting if we picked different teams.
Is Linda here this morning?
I am here. Hey, it's me.
Snow coming, huh? 3 to 5 inches? What'd you say?
Yeah, 3 to 5 inches of accumulation. Snow and sleet mix. Yeah.
We'll be talking about that like crazy.
Serious.
So that probably will shut everything down for Thursday.
Yeah, we'll have some school closings and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. You bet State of the Union address tonight.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A big focus probably on the economy and related things.
Job creation.
I can't believe how he can ignore, the president can really not recognize what's been taking place in the Capitol this week with the sanctity of human life, Right to Life March going on up there.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys pick up that No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act, H.R. 3, that's in the House right now? A government-wide prohibition on taxpayer subsidization of abortion and conscience protections for healthcare personnel and institutions. Pretty significant bill that's going in right now.
Yeah.
So we need to pray. And what's interesting is I saw some of the interviews and a lot of talk chatter going on about the pro-life movement. What's fascinating is they really feel like the pro-life movement is gaining strength.
Mm-hmm.
Actually growing.
Seriously?
In numbers, yeah. And one of the things that was most interesting in their data was the younger generation has turned pro-life. That's what's amazing.
No, really?
Yeah, really.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. So
that's encouraging.
There was a lot of encouraging news coming out about the pro-life movement, what's being done, obviously trying to figure out how to maneuver in our culture, in our society, but developing a positive messaging piece really seems to be working. And then you've got a lot of people in significant places making gains, strategic gains on protecting human life.
Mm-hmm.
So big deal. I thought that's pretty big.
It is very.
It's worthy to talk about.
Huge.
So when they talk about pro-life movement gaining momentum and being more positive, I mean, that's a big deal.
And we need to continue to pray for that effort. Really, on a daily basis, it's horrendous what's happening in our country.
Yeah, we're going to go live today on our AFR talk show And we're going to talk about this. We've got today and Thursday two huge pro-life leaders on radio with us. You figure 50-plus million abortions a year. You know, it's insane.
Yeah, and you can't,
I think it's 55 million since Roe versus Wade.
I can't even think about that.
Yeah, just it's stunning. Mm-hmm. Some people say it's like a generation is missing.
And how it must grieve the heart of God.
Yeah.
The heart of God when you think of that. That whole generation, gone by our choice.
Yeah. Well, like you said, Linda, we continue to pray. And most importantly, we lift up Christ and just talk about a message that will change your life. And that's who he is.
Yes.
And that's what this is all about.
Amen.
Thank God for the for the songs and the messaging that's coming out of Spirit FM.
Right.
So much more. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're going to talk today. We won't do it right here, but we're going to come back and talk about love and relationships and what really separates couples. We're moving into February, Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up, by the way. We got to do a little shopping, you know what I'm saying?
It's all about the love.
And we'll talk a lot about just what it is that makes a difference in relationships that last. I think that's a pretty significant deal. Enjoy the wife of their youth, the man of their youth.
Mm-hmm.
Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, live joyfully with the one you love all the days of your life. all the days of your life, for that is your lot or your calling in life. Solomon said, there are three things I don't understand. One of those, by the way, he said, was a man and a woman falling in love. What's interesting is you don't have to go very far in the Bible to recognize that we were made for relationships. If you go into Genesis 1, you recognize creation. God looks over everything that's created, and he says it's good. But then he looks at Adam, whom he created in his image, and he says it's not good that man be alone. See, I really believe that we are social in orientation. I think God is. The Trinity, the angels, the creation of man, I think reflects the social nature of God. God mm-hmm. is relational. I think he puts the same impetus in us, and he makes us relational, and that's why he recognized that Adam needed Eve, someone who came alongside of an Azar, one who was there for him, somebody who loved him, and that he loved her. By the way, that never denotes inferiority or superiority in a relationship. That word is often used of God, that he is our Azar, one who comes alongside of us, like 20-some times in the Old Testament.
Really?
But then he moves out of that into Genesis 2, 24 and 25, therefore shall a man leave both father and mother, cleave unto his wife, they two twain shall become
one
flesh. They were naked, the man and his wife, and they were unashamed. It means they were free. They felt secure. They felt safe in that relationship. That's what God has ordained in our life, okay? Now, catch this thought. Anything that has that much propensity for good in our life, for beauty, also has that much propensity for pain and brokenness if it's not the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And so when you begin looking at the stats, you all, and you start studying this like I have done for a long time, and primarily out of the fact that we had a hard road. Julie and I, early on in our relationship, it was tough. We came from two different worlds. We tried to make things go. We were young. And it's a journey for all of us. And let me give everybody listening a guilt-free drop. Everyone's going to go through periods of disaffection.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's
mm-hmm.
going to go through times when it's not the way it's supposed to be, when it doesn't feel close, when I don't necessarily like you.
True.
You know mm-hmm. that?
Yes.
Matter of fact, there are days when I really don't like you. How do I get through that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How do we manage it? And problems are never the issue. And disaffection really, in a sense, isn't really the issue. It's what you're going to do in the midst of it that's going to determine the future health of your marital relationship. So people ask me all the time, okay, what's the secret sauce? What is it then that's going to make a difference in our home? Because if you were in our house right now. And I'm gonna say something here. There's a lot going on behind closed doors that's pretty ugly. And it's sobering to look at the statistics, even of marriages inside the church, you all. 40 to 50% of today's marriages, people getting married now, are going to wind up in divorce before they reach the peak of their marital years. If you count people who separate but don't come back to the marriage, 66, 67%. Behind closed doors, people just trying to make a go of it. Listen, it's tough. The demands in life, the money challenges that are going on. Mm-hmm. President Obama is going to talk about the economy tonight because he thinks that's the bottom line. And truth is, it's a big-time challenge. Mm-hmm. It comes right down to, you know, hometown USA.
Yes.
It's in the house. And more. And you get to a point where, you know, anger starts ratcheting up. Distance starts being created. It's just like, I don't know that I even want to go there. And then we try to medicate ourselves with different things. Okay, Tim, go back to what are we talking about? What separates people? I'm going to start today with the word God. Everybody says, that's a little cheesy. Okay, the God card. Okay, drop it.
Yeah,
but let me tell you what. University of Chicago study came out not long ago and said this. People who actually were spiritual in their marital relationship, they connected spiritually. Catch this. Rated each other as better lovers.
Seriously.
Than those who didn't connect spiritually.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yes. Andrew Greeley, the author of the book Faithful Attraction, said that when people prayed together, they scored higher on every index of marital happiness. You start looking at marital outcomes-based research, it's there. Now, let me add one little caveat, though. There isn't anything probably more difficult in all the world than connecting spiritually with your spouse. Do you know why? It's tough to pray with somebody you don't like.
Or if you're in the midst of a disagreement or there's issues, it is.
Yeah, you're fighting a little bit over this and that. And then, you know, you got the devotional on the bed up there, and you're thinking, okay, we're...
Yeah, let's pray. Right. Yeah, sure.
God, straighten her out. Sure don't like her today. And seriously, then what happens is it becomes a challenge. And you know what? I've learned that in some respects, the evil one wins right there because he loves to keep that challenge card, if you will, going. So we don't get that vertical relationship piece working. And listen to verses like this out of 1 Peter 3, and then we'll break. I only got one in. I got seven of them.
Fast forward.
But listen to this verse. Don't deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. If you do, your prayer life will go hindered. Now just think about that. 1 Peter 3. Don't render evil for evil, but contrarywise a blessing. And by the way, don't deal with her recklessly, because if you do, this horizontal relationship between you and her will actually hinder your vertical relationship with God. Get the thing right. I wonder what it has in terms of value to our marriage. And God help us, seriously, to figure out that particular piece. It has that much incredible positive value. And here's the wonderful thing. God wants to help you go there spiritually together.
Spirit FM, Chris August and Starry Nights. Chris August going to be part of Winter Jam. We've got all the details about that online at spiritfm.com. 7:38 now with Dave and Linda and Dr. Tim in studio this morning.
Well, we've been talking about connecting, and the most important thing, or one of the issues that's so important, is connecting spiritually as a couple. Mm-hmm. And I'll have to admit myself, that is not easy. Mm-mm. To do, to connect spiritually as a couple.
It isn't, Linda.
It's a challenge.
Yeah, really. I remember driving home from, I think it was in South Carolina, and I hit Greensboro coming up through, and I was listening to Focus on the Family that evening. James Dobson, Dr. Dobson, was on with Neil Clark Warren, who's the founder of eHarmony.com.
Oh.
Yeah, I've interviewed Neil many, many times. He no longer is with them, but Neil. And then another friend, Scott Stanley, who's a marital research expert out of University of Denver. Mm. Scott's a wonderful Christian guy. He's a preeminent researcher out there. They're talking about this very thing, spiritual intimacy in marriage, and they were referencing Genesis 2:24 and 25. And Dr. Dobson asked Scott Stanley, he said, Scott, what do you think, how many people do you think really connect spiritually? And they battered it around a few times, but they landed somewhere between 5 to 10%.
What?
Wow.
5 to 10%. Oh, actually connect.
Spiritually. We're talking couples here, connecting spiritually.
With their husband and wife. Yeah, you bet.
But yet you say that's so important.
I just wrote down, the number one thing that separates couples is this.
Yeah.
This factor, God. And can we connect there? God's the author of this bond. He's the one who wants to bless it, by the way. He doesn't prevent fun in relationships. He doesn't prevent great intimacy in relationships. We're the ones who do that. See, and I think it grieves God's heart. And our challenge is to live joyfully and to understand what it really means to be in love with one another. What prevents it is the pressure, the pain, the pace that we're under in modern-day life. Mm-hmm. And then, so what? The obvious question then is, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? I think first of all, you make sure that you don't approach God, if you will, in your marriage, to correct or change your spouse. I think that'll happen, but I think most couples, when they try to get God in their relationship, it's one person. All of a sudden, the wheels have come off in the marriage, and the next thing you know, they're coming in, Dr. Tim. You know, I've been reading Ephesians 5 and 1 Corinthians 7, and we just need to get God back in our marriage. Duh. You know what I'm saying?
right.
Yeah, but see, the problem is then they play or use God against each other, and that's not what it's about. Literally, you got to step back for a moment and say, you got to recognize we just need God in our marriage. And then how do we go about it? Well, it's just simply, for us, it was one of those aha experiences where we tried everything, you know, these daily bread things. And
right, daily devotionals together.
And, and nothing would work for us. Julie and I grew up in Christian homes a lot. It was about connecting on the purpose factor, meaning we just need to know God more intimately together. And by the way, it starts personally.
Mm.
You hear what
That's
I'm saying?
That's a major one, isn't it?
It starts personally. It's a personal commitment. Okay, and you've got to press towards God's heart on your own. And then you've got to bring it together collectively. And by the way, it doesn't mean that you've got to sit down and read, you know, 30 chapters tonight. Doesn't mean that you got to pray for 4 hours or something like that. You know how it can start? It can start by saying, you know what? I'm going to slip a note in lunchbox like you do the kids.
Aww.
Hey, I love you and I am praying for you.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Or it could be an agreement of, you know what? Let's pray for Joey today together.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't feel comfortable praying together out loud, we can just simply be together and hold hands and just have, quote, like a moment of silence where we pray for each other. Just get something started. It's amazing what will happen. Yeah. And I just used one spiritual discipline, prayer. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just one. That's one of many. Mm-hmm. Just get something going. And by the way, the idea of knowing that somebody loves you and is willing to pray for or connect with you spiritually communicates a huge message of love. I'm telling you, it really does.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, it's tough, though. When he's nasty, he's, you know, it's, I mean, I get that. And you might need to be praying for him every day. And by the way, I wouldn't want to be on the other end of a woman praying fervently for me. You hear what I'm saying? Because there is power in all this. I really believe that with
yes,
all my heart.
Yes, there is. There's power.
And so more of an approach of humility here, of just saying, God, we really do need you. And there's a lot coming against us. And really, there's a lot competing for our affection and our spiritual connection together. And that's where you as a person start praying, God, bring into my life everything. And we're spending a lot of time here. You know why? Because it's such a huge piece of this relationship factor. And we unashamedly here, Spirit FM, in our counseling practice, in AACC, the American Association of Christian Counselors, in Liberty University, in our counseling and psychology programs, unashamedly anchor ourselves in this commitment that God loves us, that He's there for us, that He wants to bless us, and that our marriages can be incredibly altered because of what He can do and wants to do in our relationships. Mm-hmm. You get that piece?
Yes.
And so united we stand on that, and God help us, and let's just take baby steps together. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's how you learn how to walk, right?
That's right.
Start
that's
someplace.
How you learn to grow. Let's start somewhere. You're driving down the highway today, it just starts in your heart saying, you know what? God, we've been away on this piece for a long time. Draw a circle. Don't throw him in. Don't throw him under the bus. Don't get after him and say, the problem is you're not the great spiritual leader. We already get all that, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't beat me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get started together and say, hey, I'm going to draw a circle, step inside of it, and say, God, I'm going to start this change inside that circle. I'll tell you what,
mm-hmm.
Might get radical here. Something could really get done. All right.
7:45 now at Spirit FM. Encouraging Spirit FM. Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. That's Chris Tomlin at 7:50, 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. Mercy Me on the way next. Some rain possible by this afternoon, not as cool, with highs in the mid-40s. And Dr. Tim in studio with us this morning.
And we've been talking about relationships, husband and wife relationships, and how important God is in a relationship. And I want to ask Dr. Tim this question. There is always the assumption that the man should be the spiritual leader. But from just talking with other women and just experiencing life, most of the time that is not the case. Most of the time it's the woman that really wants to do it, but expects the man to do it. The man's not stepping up, so there's this constant conflict. And I don't think many of them get past that. So what should the woman do? Man won't take the spiritual leadership.
Mm.
You know.
She's hurting us.
Yeah,
shooting you down, guys.
Dagger to the heart. You know what, Linda? One of the things I do in workshops is I talk a lot about the barriers to spiritual intimacy, because I think we don't understand what keeps us from connecting with God personally mm-hmm. and together mm-hmm. as a couple. Sometimes it's don't really know how.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of men are just really poor at relationships. They feel very threatened or vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And so they try to do this spiritual thing. You may find them internally praying, you know, at 3 or 4 in the morning. One of the indictments against a lot of religious leaders is simply this. Listen to this. you know, that's what I do a lot of counseling and coaching mm-hmm. with pastors. Mm-hmm. They can pray with the masses, but they can't pray with their spouse.
Interesting.
Okay, now watch. It's because it demands vulnerability. You're there with someone who knows you intimately. You got it?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Then if you start throwing in the pressures, no money, things that don't make sense in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, I got a call yesterday, 52-year-old woman, dead.
Mm. Wow.
I mean, yeah, just the call I got was, it was, you know, this is awful.
Yeah.
One of those deals. You start mixing all that stuff up and it gets pretty challenging. Mm-hmm. But Linda, you are right. I think women do relationships a lot better than men.
True.
They do. We're pretty avoidant in how we do things. And so they come into the marriage expecting to have, you know, best friends forever type of thing. We're going to talk about and do everything, Dave. And it's mm-hmm. it's connect on everything. And she's...
And, right, exactly.
And for us, it's like, huh? And we're just looking at each other. We don't necessarily do that very well. And so we need to be instructed. Sometimes, yeah, Linda, I would say, it's just like if he can't manage money... Mm-hmm. You better what?
Take over. Really?
You better run the checkbook.
Right.
You got
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Sure.
And I think even spiritually connecting there, headship, I think God has ordained a responsibility factor to men. We better take it serious because why? There is an expectation from him. But at the same time, coming alongside of, taking the lead every now and then, it's like learning how to dance, mm-hmm. Getting that first step right. You know what I mean? And
sure.
Starting in that direction. Let me give you a portrait of what kind of like motivates me periodically. When I see Julie out of nowhere, I just come blowing through the room and she's over there doing her Bible study. Okay. Just working through. And I know she doesn't have to do it mm-hmm. in the midst of everything. When I see her doing that stuff, I just glance at it and it keeps me going. It motivates me. You got what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To connect with her mm-hmm. there. That's taking a lead. Mm-hmm. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
See, it's not really about changing Tim. It's about what for her? Evidently, she wants to connect with God more. She feels conviction.
Right.
You got
right.
it? Mm-hmm. And it challenges me personally. My daughter, Megan, recently, she kicked off with her pastor, our church, mm-hmm. saying, Dad, I'm doing the one-year thing with the church this year.
Mm-hmm.
And she's on her way
mm-hmm.
and doing it. I try to lead by example on my own, not telling them what I am or doing not. I want them to see it in my life, you know. And there's this piece right there, Linda, that gets things started. You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't grow weary in doing well. And that Galatians 6 piece, that really right. is about evangelism, about sharing Christ. You do it in your marriage too. This fixed mentality thing where we use God to change or manipulate our spouse is wrong. I'm telling you, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. And you know what it does? It destroys intimacy. It destroys spiritual intimacy. The very thing that you want to see happen, you wind up stabbing in the heart, literally, mm-hmm. when you play God in your marriage thing. And by the way, is it wrong to say, yeah, you just have to be judicious, careful about how you go about this. But let me say, it all starts inside the circle.
Mm-hmm.
It starts there. And God loves it when you come to him with open hearts and hands. What father would give a son or daughter a stone? Can you imagine a woman like Linda who just says, God, you know what? I'm not feeling it. I'm not finding it. We're not connecting. God, we need direction in our life right now. And she starts laying hold of John 15, 1 and 5. Jesus, I understand without you, I can do nothing. And so I'm going to dedicate my life to you. I want to be the best wife in all the world. Go back to the University of Chicago study. Women and men, husbands and wife who connect spiritually, wind up getting rated as better lovers. You know why? There's something dynamic that starts taking place. Those who pray together score higher in every index of marital happiness. You start seeing the connection here for a moment. The very thing we think doesn't make sense or, quote, chokes out love and makes us weird and all this kind of stuff. It's actually the thing that starts giving life to our bones. Adds romance and passion and dynamic to our relationship. So I think the message this morning is, God, help me.
Mm-hmm.
Just help me. Listen, everything you've been doing to try to change him, everything you've been doing to try to change her, has it worked?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Never.
You know what the definition of insanity or stupid is, don't you? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
That's right.
God, help us. And literally, if we're going to change, let us start with me. In every counseling session I've been in, my goal is to say, most of the time it's women who come for counseling, is get Linda to a place where she's comfortable, she feels safe, and she wants to risk on her own. What's she going to be guilty of? Loving her husband with everything she's got? Mm. That's my goal, to get her to that place of freedom. How he responds is going to be up to him.
Right.
Truth is, I wouldn't want to be in that hot seat. Over there. His hot seat. You know that?
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a beautiful gift to give back to her. She gets free then to be herself. Mm-hmm. And that's what it takes for love to flourish. It's a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because it's horrible being alone. And it's horrible being in a relationship where you're not loved. God help us all. That's where the great war is. The church needs to see this. We need to set couples free. That's why we're doing Love for Life and more. Mm-hmm. Seriously. Hey, give a day. Mm-hmm. Give more than that. Give your life. Mm-hmm. You'll bless your kids. You'll bless and honor the church. You know what? And you might live happily.